necessarily get the same show the same day across the United States. So what they would do is ship the films out. Most of the Howdy Doody shows, for example, are on Kinescope, and Bob Smith still owns them.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Had the chance to interview him many years ago at another radio station. And is he still
He's still around, isn't he? He's still alive, yes.
Still doing these memorabilia-type shows. So what are you going to do with that? You're just waiting for all these shows to come into the public domain,
well,
then? Is that your idea?
Most all of the material that I have is in the public domain. What I was doing back in the 80s was, for a number of years, I was on Channel 5 showing old television shows and movies. Then I went over to Channel 9. And then for 3.5 years, I did a Friday night show every Friday night at 10 o'clock on Channel 23, showing old television shows from the 1950s. I've got, you know, Gabby Hayes and Pinky Lee and Racket Squad, and, you know, I mean, I can keep naming shows forever. And
gee, I'm afraid you will, and I'll remember all of them.
Yeah, they're all really great. Some of the things that I've got that are fairly interesting is that, do you remember the TV show Life of Riley?
Oh, sure, with William Bendix.
No, there was 13 shows before William Bendix,
you know,
starring Jackie Gleason. Prior to that, the pilot was done for the show back in the 40s with Lon Chaney Jr.
No kidding. You're
absolutely
a wealth of information. You know all this stuff. What, you know, these days you see, especially in light of David Letterman signing with CBS, so you've got talk shows given 10:30 to midnight roughly in that area. They're either talk shows or made for TV or Canadian import type television shows. I've really missed that for a long time. You don't see good old movies anymore.
The reason why you don't,
why?
And I've talked to some people at like the superstations, like WGN in Chicago, and what they say basically is that people want to see color, and that's what the TV stations, you know, that have budgets tend to show is films with color. That, and there's really not a call or a demand for black and white shows. So some of the great B movies you just don't see.
That's too bad. How's have you heard how Turner's colorization has done? Been a lot of protests against that. I don't know if it's helped him at all, but
I don't know, but I think it's absolutely terrific.
Oh, you are on the positive side.
Well, let me tell you the reason why I'm on the positive side. Because what they do is, when they colorize a print, they go out and find the best print possible. They put in missing footage. For example, the Newt Rockne All-American, the Ronald Reagan story. Well, what they did is when they had this pep scene and they said, let's go out and win one for the Gipper, the family, when that was released to television, took it out. They had authority to do that. When Turner went back and recolorized it, he put that scene back in. So basically for 40 years you would hear about that scene, but when Pat O'Brien did it in the movie, you never saw it on television until Turner went back and colorized it. So the colorization, even though you get the purists that say you should see it in black and white, yeah, I believe that too. But the only thing is they're going back, they're digging out the best possible prints, they're putting in new footage, and it's really a terrific movie. And if it bothers you, then, you know, then turn off the color, and you're able to see a perfect print.
Tim Kerr is our guest this afternoon on WCCO. We're talking about the Maltese Falcon. We can tell you where you're going to get your own Maltese Falcon, too.
Absolutely.
That looks like exactly like the same one that's in the movie. I mean, it looks identical.
Yeah.
I guess that's the idea. Anyway, you know, we were talking old movies, public domain, things like that, and one movie comes to mind that I heard someone talking about recently, last few weeks, especially this past Christmas season, and that is It's a Wonderful Life. We're seeing that everywhere. And I heard that somebody missed the boat and let that slip into public domain.
The reason why it slipped into public domain is that Frank Capra had a film company called Liberty Films. And you see this big thing clanging in front. And what happened was that it was not a success when it came out. And it actually, the studio went under. So after 27 years or 28 years, you know, if there's no studio there, they just forget to renew the copyright and send in the $7 and bang, it's in the public domain. So like you see it in the movie Home Alone 2, you tend to see it a lot all over the place. And
they don't have to pay, nobody has to pay any rights to anyone.
To anyone, nothing.
No.
In other words, if you get a print, you own it, you can put it in a movie theater, you can charge admission, you can put it on videotape, you can do anything. But the one thing that probably has helped that movie over the years more than anything is the fact that it is public domain. You know, you can see it maybe 30, 40 times in the Christmas season, and it's become a classic, but I think it's become a classic not so much for the film itself, but for the fact that it's in the public domain.
Okay, interesting. Now, with these films that you have, and I won't ask you where they're kept, but how are the things, the movies and the TV shows, how are they stored? You have to watch the humidity and temperature and all of that, or?
Well, you don't necessarily have to.
I mean, what form are they in? Are they what?
They're on 16-millimeter film.
16-millimeter film. Mm-hmm. Okay, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
But isn't that true? Don't you have to rather keep that?
That's like, you know? That's like the old nitrate films. That's where you hear about the films disintegrating.
Right, that's true. But I thought one should still store films within a
certain
degree.
It's in a cool place.
You won't want to leave it in the window Thursday night, would you?
No, not at all.
Okay, how many did you say you had?
I have 2,000 features and about 750 television shows. Some other friends of mine throughout the United States, I have one friend in Los Angeles, in Anaheim, who has over 20,000 television shows, and he primarily supplies all of the networks when they need footage from shows.
We're talking with Tim Kerr on WCCO this afternoon. Timothy is an old friend of ours and has brought in a copy of the bird, the Maltese Falcon, from the motion picture. And he's and I'm his shill today. I'm selling. We're not selling it here on WCCO, but I guess if you want to buy one, Tim is willing to ship you one, right?
Right.
Okay, we'll pass along his address here in a couple of seconds before you go. With these television shows now that you have, that we have not seen, how come we can see bits and pieces from a Howdy Doody and maybe some, oh, I don't know, some oldie-type show, you can see bits of Howdy Doody? Do other people own the same things you have? I mean, that is, you don't have an original copy. I mean, you have an original copy, but I mean, not the only copy.
Yeah, in some instances, I do have the only copy of a show. But it depends on how many prints were made. A lot of times they'd go through and they'd, you know, the stations would throw them out in big garbage, you know, bins and just have them destroyed. So in some instances, there are not that many prints available, and you know, as collectors, it's not like we're loaning them out to have negatives struck and made duplicate copies. There are a few companies around the United States that do have, you know, shows that they make available on film. There's a company out of Los Angeles called Shokas Video. Stewart, you know, has been very diligent in finding old material and putting it out on videotape.
Interesting.
For example, I've got like all the old Amos and Andy TV shows, and they still hold up, but they're very, very hard to find. There's only seven. They only did 78 of them.
78. How many years did they run? Do you recall? I can't remember.
They only ran 2 years.
They did 78 shows. That's a lot of shows when you think about it.
Then it was in syndication from there.
Okay. Well, Tim, thank you for coming in. It's good to see you again. I haven't seen you for quite a while. And thank you for the bird. If you want to get your own Maltese Falcon, so you don't forget. Before midnight tonight. No. You can write to Timothy D. Kerr, K-E-H-R.
Right, 6008.
I'm going to write this down here. 6008.
Saxony. S-A-X-O-N-Y Road.
S-A-X-O-N-Y. Saxony Road.
Edina.
That is in Edina.
55436.
436.
It's $49.95 for the Falcon. And I can't remember.
$12
shipping. I think it's $12 shipping, but it's shipped UPS. You opened the box. You saw how it was wrapped. It's not going to come broken. And if anybody's interested in the stuff that dreams are made of, this is it.
It's the stuff that dreams are, right out of the line, out of the movie.
And it's a film icon.
Tim, it's good to see you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for the bird. We'll wear it proudly. I don't think it'll be a lapel pin, but I'll definitely display it in the house. Thanks,
wonderful.
Tim. Good to see you. 21 till 3 o'clock. It is sunny, 25 degrees.